Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective, where we talk about the NBA, and this is an emergency podcast. It's Saturday night. I thought I was going to get the weekend off. It's not going to happen. Anthony Davis has been traded in principle to the Lakers. It's an earth-shaking move, biggest move, biggest moment in the NBA since Kawhi Leonard was traded to the Raptors, in my opinion, but we will discuss that later. Joining me are the Lakers beat man for ESPN, whose job was already hard and is about to get significantly harder, is Dave McMenamin. Dave, are you in LA right now?
I am. I just canceled on Nick Friedell. We were going to go to the Dodgers game tonight, and here we are, breaking down the huge, monumental, franchise-changing, if not league history-changing trade.
It's a pretty big trade. Joining us to talk about it from Austin, Texas, is Kurt Goldsberry. I assume you're in Austin. Are you home? I didn't ask you beforehand. I should have.
I am safely at home. Thanks for having me on, Brian.
This trade came down. Adrian Wojnarowski reported it. It can't be finalized until the new league year starts in July. So that means that the number four pick is going to have the awkward situation where he gets a Lakers hat, puts on the Lakers hat, and, you know, can't be introduced and probably can't start summer league. Right, Kirk? I mean, that's an odd situation. Summer league starts July 5th.
Very odd. I think the Lakers hat moment you pointed out is a very good example of how awkward this might be for this young person, whoever it is.
Yeah. So, Dave, we knew leading up to this that there had been some traction between the Lakers and the Pelicans, which I thought was a great sign for them. I still thought that New Orleans really wanted the most they could get out of Boston, but Rich Paul did his absolute hardest work to chill the market. Well, I don't know if we'll ever know what Boston really offered. I'm sure there will be versions that become public. This is one of those things where it could be a while before we really, really know. And, you know, Boston has now passed on three players. Maybe I shouldn't assume that they passed. But they've been in the position to trade for three players going into the last year of their contract in Paul George, then Kawhi Leonard, now Anthony Davis, where they either elected not to make enough of an offer to get it done or just simply didn't do it. And it's an interesting move in their history, but we'll talk about that later. Dave, what did you think about this when you saw the terms of this trade?
I think that it was an appropriate amount of assets going out in order to acquire a guy who's 27 years old and in his prime, and Anthony Davis. Like, you know, obviously with the one side of things of Rich Paul putting it out there that he had no interest in re-signing in Boston, okay, so that allowed the trade to happen. On the other side of things, him expressing multiple occasions that he wants to re-sign or sign with the Lakers come 2020, then that leads you to not get a discount if you're the Lakers also, because it's not like you're assuming any risk if you're the Lakers. And so the Pelicans know that. And because of that, you had to give up. Lonzo Ingram is the core players. The three first round picks was a little bit more than I think I'd anticipated. You throw in Josh Hart, you get to keep Kyle Kuzma, but then this pick swapping arrangement for, you know, a course of 7 years is to me the biggest wrinkle to this trade that I've heard about of a trade of this magnitude.
I don't quite understand the details yet, to be honest with you, and I know that we are recording this at 8 o'clock Eastern on Saturday night, and it's possible by the time this is posted, or if somebody listens to it within the next day or two, that the details will be public. I have been working for the last hour to try to find out the details. I cannot get them. I've had people tell me that there is one pick swap included. And I've also had several people tell me that there is a deferment so that if the Pelicans don't want to take a pick in a year, they can defer it back a year, and maybe even defer it back multiple years. That wouldn't necessarily be a swap. That's an interesting wrinkle that I can't remember seeing before. And to me, the details are going to matter here. But Dave, do you have a good feel for what the details of the swaps or the deferments are?
No, to be honest with you, Brian, and obviously that's something just like you have been doing and trying to figure out. Let's put that aside for a quick second, though, and wonder or ask Kirk and yourself and Andrew and myself, was it worth it? And my answer is yes, because your window with LeBron James at 34 years old, turns 35 in December, about to play year 17, coming off the first time in his career where he's shown a true vulnerability with an injury, lets you know that it's now or never with LeBron James as being a key piece of a championship contender in Los Angeles. And so you just go and you do it, and you still got a lot of cap space, and you're able to keep one young asset in Kyle Kuzma. You have a couple other, Mo Wagner and Alex Caruso, that could potentially be 10 through 12 guys on this roster next year. Fill in some veteran minimum contracts and then figure out what you're going to do with this near max slot, whether you go after a number three guy, whether it be a Kyrie or Jimmy Butler or Kemba Walker, or the example that we saw in the finals where the top heavy team in the Warriors, a couple injuries and they're dead in the water versus a team like Toronto that has more depth. Maybe the best plan would be the anti-super team plan, and you break up that max into two or three targeted guys that give you more depth.
Kirk, what's your viewpoint of this deal right now with what we know?
Well, I think the Lakers have to be thrilled. I mean, in the last 12 months, Brian, they've added LeBron James and Anthony Davis, period. Okay, this is a superstar-driven league, and they just got these two dudes. So congratulations, literally. Like, that's a great start. The thing that concerns me is that this is a team that couldn't build around LeBron James last year. So the trade's ultimate success or failure still hinges on, like Dave said, who are going to be the other guys. And the mantra I would suggest that Rob Pelinka and others in LA think about are shooting, 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 defense, defense, defense. You have two high-volume scorers that aren't really great from beyond the three-point line, in an era where greatness is often equated with three-point shooting. So who are going to be these complementary perimeter threats? That was the great shortcoming of the Lakers team building a year ago, and they have a chance to correct it here. And if they do, this team is a legitimate title contender, period. I mean, you have two of the top seven players in the NBA on one team. And they didn't have any of them 2 years ago. So congratulations. If they build a good team around them, this is a title contender.
Yeah, definitely a huge victory for the Lakers, a huge victory for Anthony Davis, who wanted to play for the Lakers. Huge victory for Clutch Sports, which Rich Paul went all the way to the wall to try to force this to happen. And he was able to do it. No matter what you think, he executed for his client. Loss, I think, for the Celtics could be a rough year for the Celtics. As a quick, we don't have time to talk about this, but just want to point out that Al Horford has an option pickup date next week, and there's been no discussion of that whatsoever. We've seen a bunch of guys pick up their options. Horford is a guy who is a possibility that he could opt out and sign a longer term deal in Boston. But he's at the end of his career and has not had a chance to win. Not the end of his career. He's at the end of his prime. I wonder if he opts out and looks for other options. Or maybe there's a deal that's in place. I just want to point out that we haven't had Al Horford news. Just we'll retire that. The Pelicans, we're going to have to wait and see on this. They were shopping the number four pick over the last several days. I'm not sure they are in love with the player that they can get at number four. And so I think this probably was the best deal that they could make under the circumstances. The market was really narrowed on them. And ideally, you would get multiple bidders so that you could get them up. And so the Celtics, we know, were making bids. But it was a pretty small market at the very end, which is why, you know, trading him in February may have been, we'll never know whether trading him in February where they could have gotten more. The other thing would happen, you know, this happened with the Brooklyn Celtics trade. You know, the Nets seemed like they had gotten the big haul, although let's just be fair, as Kirk said, they did not get a superstar in his prime like they have Anthony Davis. Had they gotten a superstar in his prime who was still playing for them, I don't think people would have been as upset about the way that trade happened. But when that trade happened, just in fairness, because I want to do a place and time here, everybody thought that Brooklyn had hit a Grand Slam home run. It wasn't until, many years later they realized how awful of a trade that is. So, you know, that's why I'm really interested in what the details are. I have heard that that at least one of the picks is totally unprotected. And again, I have heard that there is a deferment, that they can defer it back if they don't like what the Lakers are picking, up to 7 years. And I think is the furthest out you can trade a pick, which would encumber the Lakers from trading draft picks in the future. But these are all details that are will be hashed out later. Kirk, I would assume that the Lakers going forward here with their cap space have got to be looking for shooting.
I agree. I think they need shooting. I think they'll find some. I mean, there's some good free agency options out there. And I think they need defense as well. I mean, on paper, Anthony Davis and LeBron James could be a remarkable defensive core as well as an offensive core. And I think everything that sort of Anthony Davis doesn't bring to the table is a dominant offensive force. LeBron James does bring to the table. The one thing neither of them bring to the table is three-point shooting. So can they go out and get players like Danny Green or Chris Middleton? I don't know how they're going to do this, as Dave says. Do you split up the max and try to get two or three great players or very good players as opposed to one superstar player? These are the decisions they're going to have to make and make them pretty quickly. The other thing is, like, free agency is not far away. The NBA is very hard on us. They end the finals, we have the draft, and then we have free agency. This is a major turnaround for the Los Angeles Lakers and their team-building operation right now.
Dave, they were able to keep Kyle Kuzma out of the deal. I don't know if it'll turn out this way, but it kind of reminds me a little bit of when the Celtics traded for Garnett and traded for Ray Allen, and they were able to keep Rondo out of the deals. And they celebrated it at the time. We didn't know really anything about Rondo. He had played like 1 year in the league, and they like made it a priority. We got to keep Rondo, and ended up being a really important thing. They were able to keep him. Kuzma ends up being a pretty important piece here. He's really now got to be a good player for them. He already has been. I know he had a decent year this last year, but that has to be a win for the Lakers too, that they were able to keep him.
Oh, for sure. And I think it's interesting that he was the guy that obviously was protected on some level because of his relationship with, LeBron, that he was able to grow in a short amount of time. And this is not meant as a disrespect. This is just meant as a factual observation in my eyes. He was the most mature one out of that young core. Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball still coming into their own. Obviously, he's older than those guys as well, so that's part of it. But when you're talking about the timeline that we laid out earlier in this podcast, you got to have guys who are ready to kind of put it all in and fast-track the process, and he was further along. Now, he doesn't have the playmaking that Lonzo Ball has and probably never will, and he doesn't have the length and some of the natural freakishness that Brandon Ingram does, and will definitely never will. But he does have, I think, the right demeanor and the professional approach that, LeBron appreciates and LeBron needs from teammates around him right now. I asked you guys, we talk about the names, and maybe this is completely, a too big a fish, and this is head in the clouds. But if you're Kawhi Leonard, do you consider this pitch stronger now and say, man, I can play with LeBron and AD in Los Angeles? I mean, isn't that on some level going to be as attractive as any other pitch that you'll hear this summer?
I mean, I don't really see Kawhi as the guy who wants to join a super team, to be honest with you. I think, you know, Kawhi just won a championship without needing a super team, and I don't see it. But, I mean, I can't sit here and tell you I know how that guy thinks. To me, I think the name that's interesting is Kemba Walker, because even though that's not a defensive player, that is a shooter and a playmaker. Mm-hmm. And he's the type of guy, you know, I think the important thing with LeBron is a guy who can play on the ball or off and is a shot maker, and that is Kyrie Irving is who it is. I mean, if there's a guy who should reconsider, it should be Kyrie Irving. That's the guy who should come play with them. But Kyrie appears to be headed to Brooklyn. But if you can't have Kyrie, Kemba is interesting. And I wonder if this development with this hole there for Kemba makes the Hornets even have – I mean, they already faced huge pressure probably to – he was going to get max offers elsewhere. I think New York was a real option. With that out there, you know, with a legitimate place for him to go where he could fit in and be on a championship contender, Charlotte has to realize that they've got to offer the fifth year to have any hope. And then you have the question of the supermax. I think Kemba Walker would fit in pretty damn well there, Kirk, at this point.
I agree. I think what you said about Kyrie is also true. I mean, a guy who can create on the ball, Kemba can do that. He can shoot it. We always know that. But let me ask you this, Brian, not to put it right back on you, but does this kind of news, this is massive news, does this news affect Kyrie at all? You have a better feel for that situation than me. What do you think?
Well, with the caveat that Kyrie's mind needs to change. Hold on 1 second. I'm getting a text here. With the caveat that Kyrie's mind can change, it's my understanding that while LeBron and Kyrie have rekindled their relationship, and there's even people who know them both who believe that they could play together again, that as of an hour ago, as far as I know, Kyrie did not intend to play with LeBron. But that was, you know, a few hours ago. I don't know if that changes it, but my God, would he fit in beautifully? I mean, mm-hmm. Dave, you know the situation as well as any. You understand what happened with Kyrie and LeBron. I mean, they fit together brilliantly.
Oh, of course they do. But my question is, are we ignoring a lesson that was right in front of us in the 2019 finals, where if you build the top heavy roster and you experience an injury, you're toast? And especially when you look at the construction of this team. Now, LeBron had been Mr. Indestructible for so long, but he showed some vulnerability last year. Kyrie Irving, we know, has injury problems. Anthony Davis has not had the most unscathed track record when it comes to his medical sheet. So is it more prudent to go after a Kyrie Irving or even a Kemba Walker, or split that up and say, I could get Pat Beverly and Seth Curry and Terrence Ross, or, you know, player X, Y, and Z versus that top level? And I don't know the answer here. I mean, the traditional kind of ever since 2010 super team mentality, or even 2008, you know, the Boston Celtics big three, has been just get the best players and then fill in role players around them. But I don't know. I think you got to get through the regular season, and that takes depth to get there. And then once you're there, maybe two really great players is enough if you have the right role players around them.
I don't know. It's I'm sorry, guys. I just can't get past the details of this trade. I'm having difficulty focusing on the Lakers right now because I honestly think that there's a possibility here that the Lakers gave, in addition to three first-round picks, a deferment and at least one swap. And one of those first round picks, other than number four, is unprotected. So I'm sorry. I apologize if I'm not focusing. Andrew, I just have to focus on the Lakers, right? I shouldn't be worrying about the details of these swaps because, to me, this is how the trade could end up getting defined.
I mean, unless you want to break any news about what the details are, it seems kind of moot to be trying to focus on the details, right?
Well, you don't break news on a podcast.
Are you sure? Possibly?
Yeah. Let's just put it this way. Having a good feel for what the details of this trade are, I think that the Lakers – The Pelicans found a team that was desperate to make a trade, and they took advantage of that desperation. And the Lakers get an in-his-prime superstar. And I guess what you got to do for an in-your-prime superstar. This, I'm sort of digesting this in real time, which I guess is the point of this emergency podcast.
I have a question, Brian.
Yeah.
Are any of these top-tier free agents, I'm going to use Jimmy Butler as an example, would any of them be willing to consider taking less to join this team, and then maybe the Lakers have a little something to throw towards another role player like Dave was suggesting?
Well, according to Bobby Marks, the Lakers can have, depending on how they structure this deal, Lakers can have up to $32 million in space. Dave, they really can't clear any more space. They've only got a couple other players under contract.
Right.
And I think like Caruso is at the minimum.
Hmm.
And Mo Wagner is a little bit over the minimum, but not enough. So Jimmy Butler, if he took a max from the Lakers, would inherently be taking less, right? Isn't he a 10-year?
Correct.
Is he a 10-year free agent already?
Jimmy is – good question.
Man, I
– Jimmy was drafted in 2011.
Yes, so he's not there yet. Yeah.
He's not. So that would be his max. So, man.
Brian and all three of you, I know the future considerations, we can't really judge this yet for in terms of how well Noel has did with this. But just at the players that we can name now, what do you think this Pelicans team has in store next year with Zion, Lonzo, Drew Holiday, and Brandon Ingram? I mean, are they like they got an outside shot at a playoff run?
I mean, the Western Conference is so wide open. I mean, I don't think you can leave anybody out right now. I think, who knows, they could be a lottery team for sure. But if everything clicks, if Drew Holiday is healthy and playing as well as he can, and Zion is rookie of the year guy, why not? Why not put him in the bottom half of that Western bracket?
I'm having difficulty getting over the fact this is Nets Celtics 2.0. difficulty. I mean, LeBron has 2 years left on his contract. Anthony Davis, I have to assume, has promised the Lakers that he will resign. This could absolutely kill the Lakers down the line.
What is down the line? Like, who cares?
I know. That's what you'd say to the Nets too. You know, I'm.
But the Nets didn't have an owner who was trying to prove that he could win or she could win a championship to make up for the loss of her father. They're like, if they win one championship, all the bus siblings that are involved in the Lakers organization are so validated.
You're right. I mean, that's what I say about the Lakers or the Raptors. Even if Kawhi walks now, it was worth it, you know? They have it. They have that championship. You could never take it away. And it was a hell of a championship. It was, you know, I mean, if they had, you know, if they had had to give up a pick swap to the Spurs or an extra first to the Spurs at this moment, do you think they would care? Probably not. And if the Lakers, I mean, the Lakers window now is the next couple of years, the Warriors are diminished. I mean, depending on what they get with that space, Lakers are going to be favored to win the West.
Ooh, this is a great segue. Kirk, Dave, I'm sure you're both aware that we have a colleague that went ahead and predicted the title winner this year. Are either of you on June 15th, 2019, ready to declare that the Lakers will win the title next season?
Hell no. Are you kidding me?
All right. Damn it.
July is still here, man. Like, championship is won in July. just ask the Raptors. Like, how are we supposed to predict what's going to happen next season without knowing where Kawhi Leonard is playing? For instance, the NBA Finals MVP might be on the LA Clippers next year. He might be on the LA Lakers. We don't know the extent of Klay Thompson's rehab and so forth. How are we supposed to say that right now? And that might not be great for takes. But yeah, I think my point is everything will be a lot clearer than it is right now in about 4 weeks. There's a lot to shake out here, including New Orleans. They might move the number four pick. They might move Lonzo Ball. We don't know that they're done yet. But a lot is left to settle. And unfortunately for those of us who cover the NBA, we have a lot of writing and analysis to do between now and mid-July.
Yeah. Yeah, you know how we used to do like school papers and there'd be a source cited page, and on the back you'd have like, say you use the same source two times in a row, you just do IBID, IBID. I'm doing IBID after that answer from Kirk. IBID, because exactly, I can't predict that at all.
Well, you know, the one thing here is that the Lakers, you know, they've really got to. Their moves going forward here, you know, they're going to have the $32 million in cap space. Whether they break that up or use it in one spot, they're going to have their room exception, which is what, $4.5 million. Just count on that going to KCP, by the way, which probably wouldn't be the worst use to that money. I mean,
I got a name for you fellas.
Yep.
Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, no way.
No way? Not on the league minimum? They got to fill out spots?
He can't play in the league right now.
What about Dwayne Wade, Brian?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that helps him. An interesting name, would be D'Angelo Russell. Is the bridge too burned?
I don't think so. I think that was a bridge that was burned between Nick Young and him, and then potentially some players that are no longer on the team, and maybe Magic Johnson. I think that's a great point. He could go back in there and provide some scoring off the bounce, provide some catch and shoot. I think that's a fair name, Brian.
All right, so I'm going to give you some names that I think the Lakers could look at with their cap space that are not max players. They have $32 million. How about Brooke Lopez?
I think they're looking at LeBron James and Anthony Davis as are starting 4 and 5. If not, they're starting 3 and 5. It would be remarkable to me to put Brooke Lopez there. I don't think that's a good fit, but you guys can convince me otherwise.
Well, I just know that talking to people in the Lakers organization this week, that's a name that has come up. This is days before the Anthony Davis trade went down. So Brooke Lopez is certainly someone that intrigues at least some people in the organization.
Also, Anthony Davis prefers to play 4 and LeBron prefers to play 3. You could bring in Brooke, and then you align it the way you want to align it. Plus, he can stretch the floor beautifully. What about Bojan Bogdanović?
Terrific fit. I mean, that's the exact kind of shooting they need. I mean, the kid is one of the more underrated shooters in the league. Can fill it up from every angle. Would thrive. And Brian, you know this as well. Anybody, LeBron James is the best 3-point shot creator in the league. And somebody like Bogdanović would just thrive in that environment.
All right. What about JJ Redick?
Same.
I think it's hard to know exactly how much money the 76ers are going to spend. This is another reason why the 76ers over the last week, seeing how well the Raptors did, they got to be thinking, we got to try to run this back. I don't know how much money they can spend because Ben Simmons is in extension territory, and Tobias and Jimmy are max type players, and then JJ. But if JJ is available, that's an interesting name. I'm trying to think who else. What about a guy like, what about Danny Green?
I think that's the perfect fit. I think a 3-and-D guy. I think, you know, if I was building that team around these guys, I'd be like 3-and-D wings, guys that can be, if you get guys like Danny, I'm talking about defense, Brian, with Danny Green, so flexible, so switchable, has proved that he can do it in the big moments. So I think players like that are almost perfect for the team.
I also think if they split it up, what about one or both of the Morris brothers?
Absolutely. And you got to mention the clutch connection there.
Right.
Another name for you, Terrence Ross, in Orlando.
Terrence Ross is a good name. Mm-hmm. I got to be honest with you. Hearing these names, Dave, your idea of breaking up the money sounds good to me, because if Kemba and Jimmy stay put, I mean, obviously you're calling Kawhi. You're trying to get Kawhi. But let's assume that Kawhi doesn't go there. If Kemba and Jimmy stay put, I mean, there's some good names to use that money on.
The word Dave used to throw this idea at us a few minutes ago was prudent. Brian, do you think that LeBron James teams in the last 10 years have been very prudent when it comes to their free agent signings and trade maneuvers?
To be honest with you, there haven't been many free agent signings. It's almost all been trades where they trade young players and draft picks to stock up around him. The one time was, you know, this last year with the Lakers. But, you know, even if the Lakers, like, let's say they had re-signed Brook Lopez at a one-year deal and it had worked out perfectly, that would not have been a piece. That would have been a championship piece for them, I don't think, going forward. It would have helped them this year. But one of the things that LeBron's teams have done is mortgage the future to do the present. And, mm-hmm. and the Lakers have just mortgaged the future.
That's right.
But, I mean, I get it. Dave is right that, you know, the LeBron's window is now. Mm. You know, basically the Lakers are doing what the Cavs did not. The Cavs were like, listen, we're going to go after, you know, this Nets pick that ended up being number 8. You know, the Lakers are like, look, we're going to do the opposite. So I guess I respect it. I guess I can respect that.
The pushback, like, to your earlier point though, Brian, is if they know they can get AD extending, they're not exactly mortgaging their future with Anthony Davis, one of the best young players on the planet, just about to sign a long-term deal, if that's about to happen.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, the Lakers were probably the most desperate team, but that desperation was warranted. Mm. Is that a fair enough statement?
I mean, have anyone paid attention to what we've been writing for the last 6 months? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, they were in territory of taking over the New York Knicks as the worst run organization in the NBA.
But you could argue, Dave, that trading away your draft control for the next half decade is not a smart organizational move. One more thing here before we go. What if they call Kevin Durant?
That doesn't make any sense, Brian.
Why?
Because he'll be out for most of next season, and you just said that their window is right now. I mean, the more you guys talk about it, the more it seems like if they don't use that max slot on, I'm like, very specifically Jimmy Butler or Chris Middleton, like Kirk said, that basically 3-and-D wings or guys that can create for themselves, because LeBron historically wants a second playmaker with him, then they should break it up like Dave suggests and get Seth Curry's and Brooke Lopez's.
Yeah, I didn't even mention Seth Curry. That's another good name.
I had already brought him up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm just asking. I'm not saying you do. I'm asking. Do you call Kevin Durant?
Of course you call him. You call him. Yeah, of course you do. He's one of the best players in the world. I mean, if anybody can come back from this injury, it's him. You got to call him. And why not Klay Thompson? While we're at it, I mean, this is a guy with family ties to the Lakers organization.
Yeah, I think Klay's staying put. I think Klay.
I agree. But if we're talking about who they're calling.
That's true. Yeah,
but this is absolutely true. No disrespect to Kevin Durant, but why call him?
Because
you need every single player that can help you next year.
I'll tell you why. Because if you get him, you have three of the top 7 or 8 players in the league in 2 years.
You have LeBron in year 18 in 2 years, and you have Kevin Durant coming off an Achilles tear at age 32.
Okay, well, I'm in with Kurt. I call him just to see. They also don't have enough of a space for his full max. He'd have to leave some money on the table, but I don't know. It's just an interesting concept, and I feel like I've workshopped this through. I now feel like the Lakers. I now I'm going with Dave, and I now feel like the Lakers should break it up.
I think that's the right play. I think what we learned from these finals, and Dave brought it up earlier, is if you can have two or three guys, but you need to go deep. I mean, this was a Raptors team that taught us that Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, Danny Green, Fred Van Fleet, those guys are very important come April, May, and June. And as of right now, the Lakers don't have any of those guys. So, yeah, I think you break it up. I think you spread it thin under these two giants. I think that's totally smart.
One more thing before we go. Dave, I don't want to steal away from a story that you're writing, but you did have an interview this week with Darius Garland.
I did.
Some people believe that Darius Garland is the fourth, is sort of in the spot to be the fourth pick. Would the Pelicans, now I know they've got Drew Holiday. Okay, so maybe he's not the perfect pick for them. They got Drew Holiday and Lonzo Ball, so maybe he's not the guy that you pick. Would they pick Darius Garland in New Orleans if he's represented by Rich Paul?
I'll put it this way. There are other teams that have a lot of interest in Darius Garland beyond just the New Orleans Pelicans, and perhaps that was the main attraction to get that pick. Because, Brian, you very smartly wrote months ago about perhaps the way this deal gets done is the Lakers go out and they take some of the pieces and trade them elsewhere and acquire the assets and then hand it over to the Pelicans. Well, as you mentioned, the Pelicans were shopping the number four pick. I would imagine that pick is moved, and I also imagine that Garland is the guy who gets picked at fourth.
Okay, well, what basically happened here, I think, in the bottom line, is the Lakers or the Pelicans came to the realization and the understanding that the only team they could make a deal with was the Lakers, and they extracted as much as they possibly could from the Lakers. Would they have preferred it if the Lakers could have gotten other pieces? Would they have preferred it if, Brandon Ingram had not had this terrible blood clot? Would they have preferred it if Lonzo Ball had had two great seasons instead of two disappointing seasons? Yeah, they would have. And I think – I really honestly believe as we sit here, and I think it's important to say this on the day the trade happened, I wonder if the Lakers had played hardball, if they could have gotten – away with not having to give up what they gave up. And I know that everyone's just going to focus that they got Anthony Davis and they're not going to worry about it. I think once the details become public of this trade and you see all of the machinations of basically the Pelicans co-opting the Lakers draft for the foreseeable future, I think it's going to become a little bit more of a gray area. But at the end of the day, the Lakers are going to be a major centerpiece of the league next year. That's going to be good for the league. The league had a really rough week this week with the Durant and Klay Thompson going down. This is in a vacuum. This is great for the league. The number one fan base in the league just got a superstar player, and the Lakers are back to relevance. So,
Brian, let me leave you with a parting shot, Sports Reporter style. This guarantees. Obviously, Anthony Davis is going to have to ink that contract, the extension in summer 2020, to actually guarantee it and not go the Dwight Howard route. But this guarantees no matter what personally happens while LeBron James is a member of the Los Angeles Lakers, if he doesn't win a championship, that stinks for his personal legacy. But this guarantees that it was an unmitigated, unabashed success for the Lakers to bring LeBron into L.A. because it guaranteed Anthony Davis 5 years of his prime. They don't get Anthony Davis out LeBron.
It's a fair point. Kirk, do you have any? Do you have a parting shot?
Yeah, I mean, my parting shot is that both teams kind of won this trade from where I'm sitting. I mean, this guy was going to leave New Orleans next year, and New Orleans is sitting here with six huge assets that they didn't have yesterday. And I think that's a reasonable haul for a guy who told you he was going to split town. The thing that I think hinges on is this number four pick, and I want to give you guys a brief history of the number four pick, and I think that's going to hinge whether the Pelicans really win this trade from their perspective or not. The last five or six number four picks are Jaren Jackson Jr., Josh Jackson, Dragan Bender, Kristaps Porzingis, Aaron Gordon, and Cody Zeller. If you look deeper back, you find guys like Tristan Thompson and Russell Westbrook and Mike Conley. But that's hit and miss territory there at number four. So that is no sure thing. But if they hit that,
especially in this draft,
particularly in this draft, great point. But I think if they hit something on number four, they are just going to be talking about this trade in 5 years as when their franchise woke up. So yeah, I think both teams can sit here and feel good about what happened.
All right. Thanks for listening to this special Hoop Collective podcast. Thanks to Kirk and Dave and Andrew. I expect we're going to be talking about this more in the coming days. Have a good Father's Day, and we'll talk to you next week.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, Dave.